Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I actually have a lot of ground to cover. I have a lot of content to get into. As I was doing so yesterday, I only got through four of the communist goals out of W. Cleon Skousen's, the 45 goals out of his Naked Communist. Now, I want to put this into context for you. If you actually go and do the research, this was actually presented to Congress. I believe it was in June of 1963, which was about, five, six, seven years later after he had already come up with these. And so most people were just absolutely awestruck that, you know, the communists had such bold and brazen, you know, goals and ambitions in trying to change things that people couldn't fathom would actually change. I mean, I remember when I was looking at some of these goals as a younger person that I go, that's not going to happen. And lo and behold, they have accomplished almost all of their goals. But anyway, before we get into that, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. As you know, this is the only show to provide you with the tangible solution in getting the federal government, the general government, back into the framework of the Constitution. The only process that will actually do that is Republic Review and the audit, and the only entities that have the authority and power to do this are the states. I know lots of people like to say, it's we the people, man. It's we the people. When, in all honesty, Madison said it probably the best, and he was very clear. He said that who are the parties to the Constitution? It is we the people? No, not we the people as a collective. And actually, even back then, it wasn't we the people. It was those who had the ability to pay the poll taxes to vote. I forget. I remember Keith Broders told me, I think it was a couple months ago, but it was an astronomically low number of those who voted for the ratification of the Constitution. Here was another election, a special election, where they had to elect delegates to go to this convention, and they're going, hey, we don't have, you know, the money to pay another poll tax for this, because you got to remember, it costs money to actually be able to vote. And so there were some standards to being able to participate in government, which we have just cavalierly taken advantage of. And it's pretty sad and pathetic to see that even though we're giving it away, there's still lots of people that don't vote. And so the number to call in, as I said, I got a lot of content to go through. And as I mentioned yesterday, let's plan on possibly Monday. If I get through all this content, let's go through an open line on Monday. If you want to talk about this, you want to talk about how far we've gone, we can talk about almost anything other than, you know, things that have to do with social justice warriors, such as professional athletes and so forth. But anywho, the whole focus of what these 45 goals are is the changing of the American culture. So again, the number to call in is 215-867-8255. So remember to call that number on Monday. And I will just quickly just leap forward into some groveling. We do need your help. We can't do this. And as a matter of fact, we're not looking to, you know, create taxes. We're not looking to put a burden. If you've got time, that is more than enough to help assist us in what we need to do. If you do have some money, then we could really use it, because it does take money to travel to get this word out. I'm hoping that we'll be able to make the May invite out to Wyoming so that we can have another engagement with the good patriots out there, so that we can guarantee that Wyoming will stand up. If we get Wyoming to stand up in 2021, then we will literally have I believe, what we need for the other states to literally stand up with the courage. Wyoming is going to be the center. They're going to be the hub of getting the other states moving, as well as educating them and literally getting them in line with what they need to be doing to protect all of us from federal tyranny. So, again, the email, if you want to support us, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Our GoFundMe campaign is Reclaiming the Republic, as well as if you want to get involved with some of the other things that we're doing, go to theconstitutionclub.ning.com and sign up and get involved there as well. I don't do this enough, but I did want to thank you for tuning in. That's one way the word is getting out, and that's how we're growing, and we are growing. There is still no sign, as I checked through the news today, that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So what that means is that you and I are going to have to do this. It's going to have to take some effort, some resources, whatever that is that we can throw at this. But we all need to get committed in taking a stand, because if we don't take a stand by 2024, unfortunately, there's no doubt in my mind, all will probably be lost. Everything will be in motion to where we're not going to be able to stop the sucking sound that is going to literally drag us in the wrong direction. So one of the things I did yesterday, and I apologize if I hurt anybody's feelings. I know that some people that are associated to organizations, you know, they kind of put a chip on their shoulder and they get insulted very easily. That's the problem with, I think, a lot of us. We all kind of are way too sensitive, and two, that, you know, we just personalize stuff way too much. So yesterday, one of the things I said, because I talked about, you know, the W. Cleon Skousen book, The Naked Communist, and right after that, the John Birch Society was created. And if you understand what their goal was, to stop the progress and to basically, you know, undo, or I should say, get rid of communism in America, my point was that if you were going to give them a grade for how well they've done in stopping communism and getting rid of it, you'd have to give them an F, because they have failed. Now, there's lots of factors to that. But I think a part of that has to be organizationally, because they have not adjusted, adapted, and made the necessary shifts and changes to be able to actually deal with the threat and actually, you know, quell it and put it away. So what I also didn't do, because I also, you know, didn't mention the COS folks, because I know that there's, and I've talked about this, the conventionites, the anti-conventionites, and so forth. And it seems like there's a lot of John Birchers that just besmirch the convention folks. Now, just because somebody's associated to something doesn't mean that they're a bad person. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of good convention of the COS folks, the Convention of States, which is the Article 5 people. They want to form an Article 5 convention. The fact of the matter is most of those folks are really good patriots. They just, and they truly believe that it's within the Constitution, that that's something they can do. And they're absolutely right. It is in the Constitution. You can't hide that. And I actually see a lot of misinformation going back and forth on both sides of this argument. And so, you know, when somebody actually starts stretching the truth, like I've seen, and I'll say it on both sides, then you kind of lose credibility. I'm not here to try to stretch any truth. I'm here to literally educate and literally help you understand that the only process is literally the states following what Jefferson and Madison did in 1798, which is literally calling for the convention, and not a convention, they're calling for the committees of correspondence and conference, so that people can start working together and sending delegates to work. But we don't need to do it the way they had to do it. They were actually probably going to form a convention. And that doesn't mean anything else other than just a body of delegates. What we can do is we can do this online. We don't have to form a body of delegates. Everybody can work from home. They can work from their capitals and do the job and get it done. And so if you really want, and what better to gainfully employ your legislators to keep them from passing bad bills and raising your taxes, right? Fact of the matter is they do possess the authority to reel in the federal government, and that's just a matter of waking them up. And let me just jump forward because I got a minute. I'm going to do a quick review. We went through the first four goals, so I'm not going to actually read those. So we still have 5 to 45 to go through. And I will basically jump straight into the fifth one because I know I'm going to run out of time, but I'll get to do the fifth one at least. Number five, and this is the goals for communists in the United States, extension of long-term loans to Russia and the Soviet satellites. Obviously, they needed money, and they needed to literally have money that they didn't have to pay back or, you know, figure out a way of paying it back or going down the path of us forgiving the debt and what have you. And that was literally something that we literally did. I mean, we subsidized communism throughout the world, and I've been telling you this. And we've been subsidizing with China by opening up free trade and so forth. We're literally giving away our wealth hand over fist to all of these communist and do good nations. Number six, actually, I won't have time, but I'll go through it anyway. Provide American aid to all nations, regardless of communist denomination or domination. And so that is number six. And obviously we do. We are the most gracious nation in the world because even if there are enemies, we go in and assist and help them. So we've fell on number six as well. As you can tell, I'm at a hard break. So we'll come back with number seven and just plow through these. So we'll be right back after word from these promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. So as I was just saying, provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. And obviously we are the most giving nation because we've been doing that. Grant recognition of Red China admission to the United Nations. So basically, is China a part of the United Nations now? Yes. And we could have actually kept them, but we were the ones that have been literally handing them all sorts of latitude, most favored nation status with Nixon. I mean, Nixon was a huge part of the deep state. Number eight, set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections under supervision of the UN. And that's exactly what happened. However, in the 80s, that wall came down as Russia and the Soviet Union literally, you know, just kind of spread its concepts into socialism around the world. Number nine, prolong the conferences to ban atomic tests because the United States has agreed to suspend tests as long as negotiations are in progress. And that's exactly what we've been doing because we didn't need to test anymore. We were willing to suspend ours so that it gave the advantage to the enemy, the Soviet Union. And they were constantly testing, as well as China, and trying to develop their nuclear weapon and be able to be more competitive so that they could actually assure mutual destruction because that was the path they were going down. Number 11, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one world government. And that happened in the 90s. Global governance was, if you go to globalgovernance.org, I believe it was, you could actually read what their charter was and everything else. So they've actually set that up as a one world government with its own independent armed forces. Some communist leaders believe the world can now be taken over as easily by the UN as by Moscow. Sometimes these two centers compete with each other as they were doing back in the Congo in the 50s. Number 12, resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. The Communist Party was actually outlawed in the United States. I believe they were able to outlaw them. But look at it. I mean, being communist meant nothing. I mean, McCarthy went after them, and they did nothing but a smear campaign against McCarthy through education and everything else, when really the Venona Project and a lot of other things have actually proven McCarthy was correct, but he was just way too late. Communism was already well, and the Venona Project proves that as well. The communism was well and deep rooted in our state, within our the federal government and so forth. Number 13, do away with loyalty oaths. You can probably include pledges to that. We need to get back to loyalty oaths. We need to get back to pledges, having people signing pledges and committing themselves so that they cannot wiggle. We can actually force resignations and get them out if they don't do what they said to do. One of the things, and actually Keith Broders, I'm going to give him credit on this. I talk about this in my book, but I really love the way he put it. You know, we require dogs and cats to have licenses. We require, kids to have a license to peddle Kool-Aid or lemonade. We require people to have licenses to make flower arrangements. We even have professional licensing for plumbers, electricians, builders, and so forth. And yet we don't have a license, we don't have a certificate, we don't have any standards or requirements for those who are actually the most powerful in our society, who govern us, our sovereigns, our legislators. Are you kidding me? We need to get back to oaths. We need to get back to pledges. They've completely marginalized these things. And so that is a huge part of what we're doing with Republic Review. And that's one of the reasons why I have pledges and I get candidates to actually pledge. Continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. And what happens when they do? They actually are able to copy what we're doing and be able to try to go off and innovate on it, or at least duplicate what we're doing. China has been doing this for years. When you go and set up your manufacturing, China will, after you're producing your product, China will literally come in the middle of your operation, shut you down, march everybody out, and the Communist Party will take pictures. They'll literally copy and duplicate everything you're doing so that, you know, 1,000 miles away, they can set up a manufacturing plant that's doing exactly what you're doing so that you cannot sell that product in China. And then China starts competing with you in the open market. Number 15, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. They've succeeded in both because the establishment is going lock, stock, and barrel and hand in hand with the Communist Party, or what we call the Democratic Party. I always like telling people, everywhere in the world, the Labor Party is the Communist Party, except here in America, it's the Democratic Party. The Labor Party is the Democratic Party. And so I know that people, you know, they have their affinities towards their parties. But if we are going to be successful, we have to take the Republican Party back, and we have to start doing a merger without acquisition of those splinter groups that have left the Republican Party, such as the Libertarians and the Constitution Party and so forth. And so what is 16? 16, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. And so we've been under this huge attack. And as a matter of fact, this was written before the Civil Rights Act was written. And as I like to tell people, you know, the Civil Rights Act is not constitutional. I know this really, you know, I'm not trying to poke anybody in the eye, but the fact of the matter is, we should have amended the Constitution to institute the Civil Rights Act, and or we should just make it, you know, a straight law and or an amendment in literally making it so that there can be no preferences for, you know, gender and or race, those demographics that are actually tangible. I'm not going to go down the sexual orientation side and some of these other social justice crap. Anyway, 17, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Can they soften it anymore? Get control of teachers' associations and unions and put the party line in textbooks. And that's exactly what they did. As a matter of fact, we know through the Melbourne Man that that was already accomplished even before this. 18, gain control of all student newspapers. And obviously they've been doing that as well. You know, everything that is fomenting and, you know, coming out of these schools is literally communist propaganda. I mean, that's why these March for Lives and everything else that they're doing, they are literally ramming the propaganda down our kids, the useful idiots. We will be overran by our own children. And that is an indictment on how lackadaisical and how we've literally allowed ourselves to let this all happen. Number 19. Use student riots to foment public protest against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. You know, like the Vietnam War, where we were literally trying to stop communism from growing through the Southwest Asia. And I'm telling you that the domino theory did work, because if you look at how all of those nations that literally went communist, except for Thailand, I think, most of those nations quickly fell as soon as we got out of Vietnam. It's the same thing with Africa. I remember looking at the map of Africa, and most of Africa fell to communism as well. We literally saw communism take over because it is a corrupt form of government of elitists that literally subjugates the masses. And it is a very cruel government. And those people did not even see it coming. We should never have allowed that to happen. What we should have done is another story. We could have easily stopped it years and years ago before it even started really gaining traction and growing legs. So let's go to 20. 20, infiltrate the press. Little did he know that the press had already been infiltrated by the 50s, because Rockefeller actually in the 90s thanked them for the 50 years of dedication and hard work in helping promote the New World Order and this big, huge globalist conspiracy. If you don't believe me, I can cite that for you. Just ask me. It's in his memoirs. but 20, infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, and policy-making positions. Get communists in there and let them run amok. Do you remember the Seinfeld episode where Elaine's boyfriend was a commie? And it was like, you know, they lost, how they made a lot of fun poking at the fact that the communists lost. The whole time, the communists were actually the ones that were growing and gaining ground. Inch by inch, they were gaining ground. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Number 22, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculptures from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. And that's exactly what we saw in Denver and all around the United States. They've taken away all these meaningful sculptures, and they're trying to continue to do that with our history. We're at a hard break, and we'll come back with 23 to 45 right after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And, well, I'm a little busy, so please forgive me. Call on Monday. But 23, control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan, is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. And haven't they done a great job with that? I mean, come on, really. That's precisely what they've been trying to do. Eliminate, number 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Now, remember, this is the 50s. I forget the stupid Supreme Court justice in the 60s that said, I'll know obscene when I see it, and basically was a huge promoter of pornography. And this was on the Supreme Court. I forget, it was during the Johnson administration, but I forget who the judge was. Just Google it. I'll know obscenity when I see it. Anyway, number 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books. magazines, motion pictures, radio, and television. And there you go. I mean, they were literally starting to do that in the 60s, the 50s. I mean, they actually started, pornography had its place, or it started it, you know, its business probably back in the, what, the 20s, but it was a very small little industry and it was hiding because it was illegal. And it maintained illegality until all of a sudden the Supreme Court decided, oh, well, it's no longer obscene. But again, the Supreme Court had no jurisdiction. The states were the ones that were supposed to be the last bastion in keeping those things. It was the Supreme Court that gave it the stage and let it. And like I tell you, every time you step into a court that has, that does not have the jurisdiction, you will lose every time. Number 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And that's what they started teaching. I think it was in the 70s or 80s they started teaching alternate lifestyle is normal and happy and healthy. I know my kids were starting to come home in the late 80s and the 90s and telling me, well, what we're learning that there's nothing wrong with it. I can tell you that you wouldn't want to be my kids getting those long lectures from me. Number 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. And the quote unquote religious crutch. Those were buzzwords that they were already starting to, you know, push around in the 50s and 60s in colleges and so forth. And that social religion, that's been rammed down our throat big time. And that's that, the fact that we allowed all of these things to happen, these are all things that are happening, or it's already happened. Number 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in, I'll want to clarify this, any phase of Christian religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Already they have Habib days, they have all sorts of things that glorify, you know, the cruel religion of Islam, and they have all sorts of other things that glorify other religions, but Christianity, keep it out of the schools. I mean, it's that bad. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. I'm telling you, they've already passed this. The kids into school today are already foaming at the mouth. And I'm telling you, in 2024, these kids are going to demand by a majority to get rid of it. And they will not understand what they're doing, nor will they be tolerant with the fact that a majority doesn't cut it in a constitutional republic. They will, it will get ugly. It will get bad. And if we don't stop it beforehand, if we don't start waking up and getting these things moving beforehand, I'm telling you, it is not, I'm packing sandbags if we can't get moving in 2021. Discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. And that is probably the furthest thing from the truth. They wanted to make sure that they created a system and a constitution that the common man could get and understand. What the communists don't do is they don't teach individual liberty and individual sovereignty, because they, as soon as you start understanding those principles and concepts, that you actually have your own voice, then all of a sudden you start migrating away from their agenda, because their agenda is groupthink. This is how you have to think and this is how it has to be. And quickly people start waking up and going, huh, you know, that groupthink isn't good. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like groupthink organizations. And that's, you know, what I was saying about the John Birch Society. There are other ones out there, but anything that is groupthink, this is how we have to think, there's something wrong there. Anyway, I get it when it comes to religion, but when it comes to other organizations of thought and philosophy and those types of things, you have a hard nut to crack with me, because I believe individual liberty and individual sovereignty is really the only way. Anyway, let me move forward with number 30, discredit the... Okay, we already did that. And they have been doing that. As a matter of fact, they've been attacking the founding fathers, starting to identify Washington as a pot smoker and, you know, the slave owners and all that. They happen to skip over the real facts that all of these men from Virginia and so forth were more than willing to give up their slaves and shut down the slave trade during the Constitutional Convention. It boiled to a point that three out of the 13, so there's 10 that were supporting abolition and literally, you know, getting rid of slavery. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Start thinking about that, because the reality is that the framers out of Virginia were all in support of shutting down slavery. So, number 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the big picture. Give more emphasis to Russian history since the communists took over. Support, okay, number 32, and what they're talking about, the communists took over, they're talking about the communist revolution, the Bolshevik revolution. Why is it that you think Seattle has a statue of Vladimir Lenin? Why do you think some of these progressive cities have done that? It's because they are promoting and glorifying supposedly this common man concept of subjugating, you know, the little man. And I'm telling you, these people, these fools don't understand what they're doing. They really don't. Number 32, support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, and etc. And we definitely see that today. 33, as a matter of fact, I mean, everything has been socialized as far as healthcare. I mean, these types of things, even Skousen didn't see. I mean, we have socialized everything, and the federal government has brought it back, and they want to have full control over it. And it's all unconstitutional, to be very clear. They're violating the Constitution as they ram this crap down our throat. 33, eliminate all laws or procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. Interesting. Eliminate all laws or procedures which interfere with. So in other words, if you have a law that requires civil behavior and civil protest that you have to petition, then they want to eliminate those types of laws so that they can go out and do protests wherever they want, whenever they want. And that's what they've been trying to do, to create fear and to create this fomenting and changing the sentiments, because it was very successful in the 60s. And that's really when they started changing these laws. We don't have a right to protest. In the Constitution, it is a right to petition and address our grievances with government. It's not a right to go out into the middle of the streets and protest. That was never something that was exercised by the framers or a part of their history. It was never a real protest. I mean, if you understand the Tea Party protest, where they actually, you know, that was in the middle of the night. They had to do that like thieves and literally go out and dump the tea into the Boston Harbor, because they knew that they were putting their butts on the line when doing that. Number 34, eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Interesting. Now we no longer have any focus on these un-American activities, and we're allowing them to grow and strengthen. 35, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Well, now, so I'm here, and I'm one that discredits the FBI because it is outside the scope of the Constitution. And W. Cleon Skousen did not understand this point in time. Remember that they did not have the ratification debates. They did not have the internet. He did not have access to so many great documents today. And there's no doubt in my mind that these concepts and paradigms have changed to where we realize, and I truly believe before he left this earth, before he passed away, W. Cleon Skousen understood that the federal government was so far out of reach of its constitutional limits as defined by the ratification debates, that we have to get back to that. We have to literally put this all back into the hands of the states. And the FBI was one of those. Well, we're going on to 36, so we have 11 more to go. And so we will rush through those when we come back, because I definitely want to kind of close with a little bit of, editorializing a monologue. So we will be right back with 36 and on right after these messages. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic, as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-8667-8255.
Okay, let's see how fast I can fly through these last, 9 or whatever. 36, infiltrate and gain control of more unions. This 37, infiltrate and gain control of big business. Of course, the unions, that is the breeding ground of collectivism. It was the unions that came out of the communes and collectivizing labor, that whole principle and concept, which permeated throughout the world. Unions landed here in the 1800s as a part of trying to take over labor, infiltrating and gaining control of the big business. Obviously, it has been a part of these whole global governance, these free trade deals, so that businesses can become more powerful and knock out competition, so that there's literally just the big businesses knocking out literally the ma and pa businesses and so forth. They do not want you to have the entrepreneurial spirit, because they understand that's how you develop wealth. And they want to close every door and avenue for you to develop wealth. 38, transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. This was very insightful of Cleon Skousen. And this is literally the thing that they are doing, where all of these bureaucracies and agencies, social agencies, have the ability to come in, arrest people, and hold you as if they have the jurisdiction and the authority to do that, because we've been allowing these things to happen. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. So they've gained full control over what the problem is and how to treat it and how to control it. 39, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercion control over those who oppose communist goals. well, you know, how we've seen that in some of these shows where, you know, because you believe in the conspiracy theory, you're really crazy. We're going to commit you and move people in that direction. So it makes people scared to use the word conspiracy theory, discredit. And all of these things were a part of the communist conspiracy right here in America. Discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. And, you know, we're still going after the man that has, you know, an affair. But when a man in a marriage all of a sudden comes out of the closet, then he's a hero. That's how we've kind of have evolved. As long as it's really perverse promiscuity, then it's okay. But if you're having a relationship with another woman out of marriage, well, that's bad. It's all bad, folks. It is all bad, and it has been attacking the family, as they talk about. 41, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influences of parents. Hillary talked about this in her It Takes a Village, that we do not want parents to influence children with the dogma of religion. A part of this is to attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influences of the parents. They want, and they're moving down this path. And you're seeing this in states where they're starting to create departments of babysitting so that the state actually comes in and starts taking control of your children. I've already seen this in Washington State, and we can talk more about this, but this is literally going forth. These are the last few things that we're starting to see before our own eyes. 42. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, and or social problems. And that's exactly what they were doing in the Carolinas and tearing down all of these historic monuments, whether they be of the Civil War, Civil War heroes, or what have you. It really doesn't matter. It's not for a bunch of indolent dolts who have been indoctrinated with communism to say, we're taking this down. That was put up by the people, and it is up for the people to decide. And I'm hoping that the people maintain some type of civility and logic and reason in understanding their history. And instead of taking things down, putting other things up in addition to, because once you start hiding things, it's forgotten. And that is the real danger. 43, overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-governance. Why? Because then they become completely dependent. Bill Clinton was involved in this in Somalia and other places, in literally trying to allow and overthrowing the actual governments so that the people become completely dependent. That's how you create great slaves, because they don't know how to govern themselves. So you will govern them for them. Isn't that great? We're coming in with the solution already in hand. Number 44, internationalize the Panama Canal. Hey, is this a coincidence? We're going to talk about Bill Clinton again. He actually did that. Instead of actually internationalizing it, he sold it to China, which is even worse, because now the Communist Party has control over our strategic interests. That's what we put in. That was our interest. And whether we like it or not, we have to fix that. And I think confronting China is probably the only way we can fix that. And I've been telling you, that's coming. That's around the corner. 30 or 45, repeal the Connolly Reservation so that the United States cannot prevent the world court. And so I did some research on this a long, long time ago. And they are in the process, and we've already started subjugating ourselves to world court. We haven't fully gotten there, but we're close. And the fact is, once we surrender, now, so here's the thing. A lot of these surrenders and a lot of these things are being done outside the constitutional boundaries. In other words, the federal government is making these assertions and or treaties and or agreements, but they're not constitutionally ratified treaties. And so what they're doing is they're violating our Constitution, throwing us under the bus. That is one of the reasons why, before they actually throw us into the world court, before they actually throw us into the global governance with, hopefully, without the Senate's consent, hopefully we actually have enough good senators in there to actually understand that they're, you know, what they're doing. But most of these stupid idiots don't. I mean, shoot, look at what Utah did. Utah has the ability to appoint their own senators, and they allowed Romney to get elected. I mean, Utah needs to take back their appointment of their senators. They need to stop, and I'll bet you Lee would support that. Romney wouldn't. And I'll bet you anything that the state of Utah legislators would probably appoint Lee to his position. And so they ought to do it this coming before the 2020 election so that they actually can assert that. And I hope that Keith is listening to this, because I think this is a conversation, and it's an honest conversation that needs to be had with these state legislators right there in Utah. I ought to give Tom Ivory a call and say, hey, do you guys know what you're missing something here? Anyway, that was all 45. The reason I brought this up in context to abortion is, if you can understand, abortion wasn't even on the blip here, but it was all a part of the promiscuity, and it becomes a part of a solution, because when you have a bunch of rampant promiscuity, that means that you have a lot of kids that are having, all of a sudden having unwanted pregnancies. Remember, the whole point of sex ed was to control pregnancies, to control, promiscuity, that they were going to elevate morality. The best way to do that would have been ramping up more Christian religious courses and opportunities for kids to understand the importance of chastity and those types of things in educating them. Instead, what they did was they started an educational curriculum that glorified promiscuity. And I can't think of very many people that said, they don't necessarily regret having their children before marriage or what have you. I mean, they've kind of married and moved on. There was lots of people that took the honorable path in moving forward. But there are lots of people that, had realized that they threw away their childhood, they threw away their youth because of a moment of gratification. And we're all better off with a little more discipline in our lives, as well as control. And as long as we become the masters of our domain, then I think that's what's really important. And I truly believe that we need to be going in that direction as a society. Now, with the last minute, apparently there's some dogs running around. So with the last minute that I've got, I want to editorialize this one thing on this abominable legislation that's gone through in Virginia as well as New York. We are literally at the precipice. We're at that cusp of starting down the decay. If the people of New York do not react, and if the people of Virginia do not react and literally repeal all of these things that they're doing in allowing the infanticide and killing of innocent children, then we don't have much longer. It's just a matter of time, because that is the last door, as far as I'm concerned, to the decay of a society. You have to remember, in natural law, it is the interest of society to protect it and to build it up to higher values instead of allowing things to permeate and tear it down. And that is precisely what we are doing, is we're tearing down our society. And so, as you can tell, it is the end of the week. I hope you have a great weekend, and I hope that you can find something better to do than watch a bunch of social justice warriors the Super Bowl. I am G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.